Excited about having you guys here with us today. As you know, we don't pass buckets on Sunday morning. So if you have your tithes and offerings there, you can give it on your way out. In the little receptacles that say tithes and offerings, you can drop it off right there. And while I'm on the subject, on the back of your seats there, there are cards that say response cards. And on those cards, you can sign up for fellowships. We've got a great one coming up. It's our Mighty Men Fellowship. It's happening, I believe, July 27th, and we're really excited about it. There's a former WWF professional wrestler who's going to talk to us about how he gave his life to Christ, how Christ has impacted his life. His name is Ted DiBiase, also known as the Million Dollar Man. And it's a funny story. I actually went to school with his son over at a private school in Clinton called Mount Salus when I was about in the fifth or sixth grade. So it's funny how the world works, but he'll be here that Friday night. You don't want to miss it. It's free. We're going to feed you for free. The event is free. There's no tithes or offerings, no buckets being passed. It's just all free. So come out to it. You can bring as many men as you want to it. You can also bring your sons to it. It's just if you bring your sons to it, you need to take care of your sons because there is no child care provided. And so come on out to it. We're going to have a great time. You can't say there's just nothing to do this weekend. No, there is something to do. You can come out on July 27th and have a load of good times with us. And so we're excited about that. You don't want to miss it. But there are other fellowships, too, on the back of that card you can sign up for, as well as there are spiritual questions. If you're here today and you say, I want to give my life to Christ, oh, that'd be an awesome thing. Or if you're here and you say, I want to rededicate my life, or I want to be water baptized, or any of those things, you can mark that. Or if you simply have a prayer request, you can fill that out, and you can drop that card off in the same place where you drop your tithes and offerings off at. We're excited about today. We're going to do something fun, something a little bit different. We'll see if I get over into my whiteboard. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the subject of marriage. We ended last week talking about talking to one another. We said there are three T's for a great marriage if you're going to have unity, and that is you must touch, you must talk, and you must spend time with each other. We said your marriage, you may need to do some work if you hear phrases like, don't touch me, I just don't want to be touched by you, or if you just say, I just don't even want to talk to you right now, I don't even want to hear the sound of your voice, or there may be some issues there. Or if you say, oh, I don't even want to see your face. We said there may be some issues there because God wants us walking in unity. And in order to do that, we must touch, we must talk, we must have conversations with each other, and we must spend time with one another. So we've talked about the first two T's. I was planning on talking about the last T, spending time with one another. But I actually feel this morning to go in a little bit different direction, and I think we're going to have fun. So somebody says, what about the time thing? Well, here it is in a nutshell. Spend time with one another. That's it in a nutshell. Spend time with one another. Today, this morning, we're going to talk about child training. Now, I'm excited about this. I've never talked about this before, and I think that with some of these things, it'll be a huge blessing to you. And if you don't have children, I think it'll be a huge blessing to someone in your life who you may know has children. Let me start by saying this first and foremost. I am not a perfect parent. And my kids are not perfect kids all the time. Now, 99% of the time, they are, but they have made mistakes. In fact, this morning, I pulled them aside and I said, look, guys, be good today. Just be good today. Okay, Daddy, we got it. I said, no. You got to understand. Be really good today. In fact, if you're really good today, I see some dollars in your future and maybe a Happy Meal, something like that. We'll see. But just be really good today. And the matter of the fact is simply this, is we as parents, I know if you have children, you all long to do your best and you want the best for your kids. But let me say this morning, because I know oftentimes when people teach on the subject of child training, a lot of times parents can fall under condemnation. Don't fall under any condemnation today. Does that make sense? It's not important where you've been in your past. It's important about where you're going in your future. And so use some of these things as simple tools to strengthen your family and take it further than it's ever gone before. You can open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. And we have some great words of wisdom here concerning child training. Very simple, but also very profound. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hands, and our happy ushers will be there in the aisles, ready and willing now to give you a Bible. If you don't have one at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. You can hold on to it. You can make it your very own. In fact, you could write your name in it this morning and claim it as your own. We're giving it to you if you don't have a Bible at all. And of course, this morning, you can feel free to use your Bible apps on your phones or computers, iPads, whatever. We're opening those up to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read here from verses 1 all the way to verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Now notice, just with that one, you know, this is not my message, but this is so amazing when you think about it. This is what God is saying. This is His word. He gives this to us all, and He says, if you will honor your father and your mother, I promise you this, it will be well with you on this life, in this life, and you will live long. Well, friends, that sounds like two good things to me. It being well with me while I live and a long life. He says, I promise you, if you do this, if you honor your father and your mother, then I will do this. But the scripture we really want to get at is in verse 4. He says, and ye fathers, or we could say, and you parents, provoke not your children to wrath or to anger without cause, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now notice, as a parent, I'm to do two things for my children. This is what I love about the Bible. It's very, very simple. He says, parents, you're to do something for your children. You are to, one, first and foremost, you are to nurture them. And secondly, you are to admonish them. Now, this word nurture, it simply means to take care of. If you provide your body nutrients, it means you're eating things that are taking care of your body. To nurture a child means to provide it simply with loving care. You're going to take care of it. You're going to watch over it. You're going to love that child. And he says, secondly, you are to admonish that child. That word admonish simply means correct. So first, I am to provide loving care for that child. And then secondly, I am to correct that child, to shape that child in an area of discipline in their life. And I'm to do this as unto the Lord. Now, oftentimes as parents, it's real easy to do the second one. Am I right? It's real easy to provide correction. It's real easy to see things that bother you and to correct children based off of those things. And that is a part of our calling as parents, to provide that for our children. But notice, the first thing that I am to provide for my child is I am to nurture them. And that is to be the first thing I do for them. Let me tell you this phrase. I'm sure it's one that you've all heard before, but it's the absolute truth. Rules without relationship will breed rebellion every time. Rules without relationship will breed rebellion, or you could say produce rebellion, every single time. In fact, why don't you say that with me? Say, rules without relationship will breed rebellion every single time. Meaning my role as a parent is not to just provide rules for my child. I'm also to guard my relationship with them. I can remember when my first child, Ava Reese, who lost her first tooth yesterday at the hand of this guy. I remember when she was born, and I remember that moment when we had that child. Now, I didn't have the child. I watched, but my wife sometimes picks on me. She says, "You said you had the baby. You didn't have the baby. I had the baby." Okay, I got you. So, but when we had that child that day, I never will forget it when I held that little girl in my arms and in my hands, you know, and it's so little. And I thought I knew about love. You know, you think you have a concept of love, and then you hold that child, and everything you thought about love just kind of goes out the window, and a new definition is formed right there in your hands. And I pray that all of you had moments like that when you saw that child for the very first time, a sense of love. I'm sure with that there was a sense of responsibility. But I never will forget that overwhelming feeling of love. And friend, that is why family was started to begin with, was love. God started a family born out of love. And when we have children, it should be for that same reason that we're deciding to birth even more love into our households. And that feeling of love is not just something that should be felt within the first 30 minutes of having a child in your arms. It is something that as a parent, you must maintain in your household. If there's any place on this earth that ought to be full of love and ought to be full of peace and ought to be full of joy, it should be in a Christian's home. Friend, I'm telling you, if there's any place that ought to be secure, that ought to be full of comfort, that ought to be full of words of love and compassion, it ought to be in our homes. And we as parents, we have to guard that, especially in our relationships with our children. You know, I can remember having that feeling of holding that little girl in my hands. And I can remember a couple of weeks later when my wife said, "Okay, you're up tonight. You're up tonight, and I choose you." And so, okay, yeah, I got this. I got this. And so, you know, I walk out, and at that time, our daughter's schedule up to her, nighttime was daytime, and daytime was nighttime. And so I have her, and we're playing, and I'm making all the faces and all of that. It's fine for about 15 minutes, but then she starts crying. And so I think, okay, what type of cry is this? I've read the books. I'm a reader. Is this a I want to be burp cry? No. Is this I want my diaper changed? No. Is this I'm a little bit hungry cry? No. And then I realize she's just crying. All those books are garbage. She's just crying. I mean, you can make every face, change the diaper, burp, everything. And she's still crying. And this went on for hours. I made pallets on the floor, brought out every stuffed animal, did every type of face, danced a little jig. Nothing. And finally around that morning, my eyes are bloodshot and my hair is standing up, and I walk in the bedroom and say, "Tag, you're it. Now I got to go to work. We need to." And I can remember, and I'm sure as parents, you all have times like that where in the natural, your flesh can be frustrated. Or, you know, something happens within the home and a child's not listening or disobeying, and your flesh gets upset. Maybe with teenagers and things like that, sometimes your flesh even gets angry and disappointed. Sometimes it's hurt. Sometimes it's wounded. Sometimes they say things to you that may not be amazing, wonderful things. Sometimes they may do things that are the complete opposite of what you said you wanted them to do. And at that moment, it's real easy to let go of that love, if you will. Now, I know that love is in their heart, but once again, like we said, even in marriage, it's one thing to have love for someone. It's a whole nother thing for them to feel love by you. It's a big difference. It's a big thing to say, oh, yeah, I love my kids, and for those kids to feel loved by their parent. And the first thing that we are to do is to nurture that child. That, yes, there may even be times when we're correcting them, but that correction is being born out of love or care for them. And there may be times where we're upset with them, but the reason why we're upset is because we care for them so much. We care for their future, and we communicate that care to them even in our discipline. I have someone in my life who's a good friend of mine. He's a man who's seasoned, if you will. He's had a lot of success in his life and his business, but also in his family. And his kids, they're actually older than myself now, but I've seen them kind of grow up throughout the years, and I've just always been very, very impressed with the job he and his wife did with these kids. And so when I'm around him, he's a successful businessman. I'll pick his mind about those things. But here of late, I find myself picking his mind more about family than anything else. You know, because here you got two kids. They're extremely successful in their careers, and they are also very, very dedicated to their family and to Christ as well. And I've just been impressed by that. And so I asked myself, hey, what are some tips you can give me in regards to family? And he told me this, and I never will forget it, and this is the gist of it. We talked about this for several hours. I've only got a couple of minutes with you today, so I'll try to put it in a nutshell. But he said to me something that I'll never forget. He said, you know, so oftentimes when kids make mistakes, it's real easy for us to come in and correct. And we should. We should correct wrongs. But he said, I noticed that whenever I was correcting, nothing I was saying was getting from my heart into theirs. At that moment, there's walls that they're putting up, and they may be agreeing with you of, yes, that's wrong, but at the same time, they're a little bit mad, they're a little bit upset that you're trying to tell them what to do, those types of things. And so you are disciplining them, and I'm sure as parents, it doesn't matter if your kid is 3 or 13 or 23, you probably have seen something like this to where you're telling them something to do in a vein of correction, and their walls are up. Now, you got to do that. You got to correct. But he said, I noticed during those times, I wasn't speaking anything into their life. I was correcting them, but I saw that no instruction was getting in them. Did you know that's biblical? Words are like seeds. Have you ever tried to sow a seed on hard ground? In order for a seed to produce fruit, that ground has to be opened. It has to be tilled first. And then once that seed gets in, that seed begins to go to work and produce fruit. Does that make sense? And the same thing is true with communication. I'm a pastor. I try to instruct people in their lives for a living. And you know what I've noticed? There are some people that I could deliver the best message in the world to, but if they didn't want to hear what I was saying, I'm not helping them in any way. And the same thing is true in our relationship with kids. There are a lot of times we're instructing them on something to do, but they're not wanting to hear what we're saying because they want to do something else. So we're correcting them, but really no instruction is getting in their heart. And he said, I noticed that with my kids. And he said, one day my daughter came home from school and she put her backpack down and she came over in the kitchen and started talking to me. And we started goofing off and goofing around, and we were just having fun with one another. Can I say this and just pause right here? Fun in a household with your kids is critically important. Now, I know you're their parent first and then later their friend. I get that. But can I say that if in a home all it is like Attila the Hun waking up, stomping around and telling people what to do, and there's no fun there, can I just say chances are your kids are going to leave you as soon as they can. You need to have some fun in your household, and we'll talk maybe about that in a minute, how to create that. But he was saying in this times of fun, I noticed that even though we weren't talking about anything serious, her heart was open to me. And he said, the Lord put it in his heart right then and there. Thank God for the Lord's leading. He said, now speak into her life. Create a moment of fun and now speak into her life. And so he pulled her aside. She was a teenager. He said, now let me tell you why I don't want you hanging around those people. He's not correcting. It's not punishing. It's having fun. Her heart is open. Come here. Now let me tell you why I don't want you around those people. This is why. They're not good for you. I can see the track that their life is going in. And he said this, and something that I never will forget. He said, ever since his kids were little, he would always make them say, Dad, I trust you. I trust you. And that's huge, because they may obey you, but if they don't trust that you have their best interest at heart, then friend, they may just do it out of obedience and not true submission. So with that, he was saying, do you trust me with this? And so she started explaining to him how she thought it was right. And, you know, she liked them because of their influence in school and popularity and all of those things. But anyway, my point is this, every word he said in that conversation got into her heart. And when it gets into their heart, that's when life change can really happen. Your goal as a parent when you're speaking into a child's life is to have their heart open up to you. If you can open up their heart and start speaking into their life words of instruction, words of wisdom, friend, it will get in them and produce not only in their teenage years, but also in their life to come. Me and my sister were both in ministry today, and we definitely were not perfect kids at all. We grew up in a home where correction was something that was around us a good bit. I'll put it to you that way. As a preacher's kid, you know, there's that sense of everyone in the church is modeling their kids after the preacher's kids. And I'd hear that all the time when I'd go over someone's house. Well, Joel gets to do it. Oh, okay. If Joel gets to do it, then sure. Yeah, why not? You can do it. Because, you know, it's that type and that sense of pressure. So there were a lot of boundaries and a lot of correction in our household. But can I tell you something? That as a man today, and I look back over my relationship with my father before he passed away, that the things that have made me the man I am today was when he would take time to put me on the back of his motorcycle and ride over to Ratliff's Ferry, ride over to somewhere along the Natchez Trace, ride over to Vicksburg, or ride over to Natchez, or ride over to somewhere. And in those times, speak into my heart the Word of God. Not out of condemnation, not trying to give me a Bible lesson, but just sharing with me Scriptures. And you know what? That began to change me. Later, when he sold the motorcycle so he could get Hope a car when she turned 16, I got a Corvette. And can I say that those times where it was just me and him in that Corvette, just going nowhere in particular, just riding, speaking into my heart. Do you know that the same music he listened to in that car, I've got in my CD player right now? It takes me back to those moments. It takes me back to those places. Why is that? Because it was more than just, here's correction. It was, let me speak into your life, creating a moment of fun. What is that? That's nurturing. And when you're nurturing someone, they're going to open up their heart unto you. And friend, as a parent, when you get that in your kid's life, you got to take advantage of it and speak into their life right things. The most important thing you can do for your kids is, yeah, you need to correct, but at the same time, you need to bring a connection with them. You know, I tell this all the time to people who are in public speaking. You know, you could take two glasses and one could be empty and one could be full of water. And your goal is to take the water that's in one glass and get it into the other one. And you could get up there and try to sling water all day long from this cup that may be over here into a cup there. But chances of any of the water actually getting in is very slim. But if you took the time to connect the two, to put them right up next to each other, then everything that was in that one cup could be poured into that other cup. Why? They're connected. They're right next to each other. And with that friend, when it comes to public speaking, you want to make a connection. This is why a lot of times the best preachers are the preachers that tell stories. I could give you 15 scripture, but when you leave this place 2 months from now, if it's a great story, you'll remember it. Why? Stories help connect people. It makes it personal. It's more than just here's something you should do. It enables people to open up their heart to get what's in yours. Friend, I want to encourage you with your kids. Some way, somehow, you got to bring about a connection. And when that connection takes place, you have to see it. You have to be aware of it. It's those moments of fun when you're laughing. It's those moments of fun when you're out shopping and trying on stuff. It's those moments of good times when you're in the store. It's the moments out in the backyard when you're throwing a ball. Whenever it is, when you make that connection, you got to take advantage of it. And you're not just telling them what to do. You're telling them the feelings and the why behind it. What are they getting in those moments? Wisdom that they'll carry with them for the rest of their life. The goal with even correction is to excel them in their destiny. Now, with all of this, there's a number of examples we could look at in the scripture. But there's one example in the two books that we have written to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, that stood out to me in my studies. In 1 Corinthians, there is a young man in the church who is not living right. He is in fornication, that's sex outside of marriage. But not only this, it is really, really bad in the natural, even worse than just the act. This guy is actually involved in this act with his stepmother. You can imagine the family dynamic there. And the church is not doing anything about it. The church is just acting like it's not going on. No one's correcting it. They're just letting it run amok. And that's the other side of the coin is, yeah, you want love and all of those things, but you are their parent first and friend later on. You got to be that parent first. And with that, there's no pastor, there's no church authority figure stepping up and saying, you got to change this action. It's going to hurt you. And Paul was writing to him and saying, hey, not only is this going to hurt them, it's going to hurt the church too. There's got to be some discipline there. And so they discipline this individual. But what's real interesting is we see something take place. Well, let's go over and look at it. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I don't think I'm going to get to my whiteboard today. We'll see. But we've always got next Sunday. But notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, he writes back to them when he was correcting the man who was caught in fornication. That was in 1 Corinthians, but he writes to them another letter. And watch what he tells them here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. He says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment. Meaning he's saying the punishment that you gave this man, it is now sufficient. Which was inflicted of many, verse 7, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would, notice this, confirm your love toward him. Confirm your love. Make it sealed. Make it confirmed. Basically, they've had this guy. They've had to correct. And that correction was the worst type of punishment that is recorded in the Bible. According to the Bible, I can give you scriptures for it, but I don't have time. The worst type of punishment you could give to anyone is isolation. And they isolate him from the church. It's the worst type of punishment that the church ever handed out. They isolated him, but now they say, okay, he's got to learn his lesson by now. Now he needs love. He needs forgiveness. But most of all, he needs you to confirm your love for him. Let him know that there's nothing he could ever do that could make that love be shaken. That yes, there's discipline, but there's also nurture. And friend, I want to encourage you with your kids. It's got to be the same way. Yeah, there are going to be times where you have to discipline them, and you should, and that's not fun, and you shouldn't like it. And let me say this, when it comes to discipline, somebody says, I don't know if this is too harsh or too wrong or too soft. If you are ashamed to tell how you discipline your children to someone, you're doing it wrong. Let me just say, if you wouldn't tell me about it, if you wouldn't tell your neighbor about it, you are doing it wrong. So, but with that, there are times where discipline needs to be given to children. But when that discipline is happening, guess what? You need to come back after that and say, I want you to know I forgive you. I want you to know that this is not the end of our relationship. I want you to know I did this for you. I did this for us. And I want you to know that I'm going to confirm my love for you. In thinking about this, I couldn't help but to think about Jesus and how he treated the people that were in his life. Obviously, that's a type of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know how a parent should act, you look at Jesus. And there were people in Jesus' life that obviously disappointed him, just like there are times in your life where your kids may disappoint you and your flesh gets frustrated. And there was one instance that came to mind when I was praying for this, and it was when Peter violated what he said he would do with the Lord. He told the Lord, I'll never, ever say I don't know you. I'll never, ever forsake you. I'll be right there with you. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me, and you're gonna say you don't know me. And Peter's vehement that he won't, but then you know the story. He goes out there, and he does the exact thing he said he wouldn't do. Have you ever had a child do that to you before? I mean, you told them not to do something. I won't do it. I won't do it. And then they go out and do the very thing you told them not to do. And here's Peter, and he's feeling bad, man. He knows he's missed it. His heart is torn up about this. Jesus is crucified. He's put in the grave. He rises up again. And you know what he does? He goes out looking for Peter. He says, go get my disciples and Peter. Specifically names them. And finally, he hears that they're out there fishing. And he walks up to the seashore, sees them out there on the boat. Peter was a fisherman. John looks up, and you can read about this in the book of John. John looks up and says, it's the Lord over there. And Peter looks up, and when he sees it, he sees it's the truth. Well, he doesn't wait for the boat to be rowed back. He jumps out of the boat and starts swimming to the shore. Oh, friend, that's a good sign you're doing something right. That's a good sign you're nurturing. When your kids are running to you, oh, it's a good sign. So with this Peter, he's swimming back towards the shore. He gets up there, and guess what he finds when Jesus is there? Not more correction. Not more condemnation. You know what he finds when he gets back there? Jesus says, hey, I made some fish over here. He says, come down and eat with me. And they eat dinner, and no one talks about the mistake. And they eat dinner, and it's like it was before the correction. And then Jesus pulls Peter over to the side, and he's going to confirm his love towards him. But not only that, he's going to speak into his life. And he says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, oh, Lord, you know I love you. He says, well, Peter, if you do, go and feed my sheep. He tells him to do that three times. That same words spoken from Jesus' heart to Peter's. And we see Peter after that turn into one of the most amazing men this world has ever known. He turns into an apostle, and the church is built upon him, and he stands up in the book of Acts as a great witness for God. And you look at this and you would have wondered what would have happened if Jesus would have dealt with Peter even more harshly, if there would have been harshness there. Yes, correction needs to be given. Admonition needs to be given. But before that, what's there to be? What's the admonition to be birthed out of? It's to be born out of nurture. And Jesus on that day created a moment where he could speak into Peter's life. Let's just go have a meal. Here, I'll even cook for you. cooks the fish, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord and Savior, just making a meal for his boys. He pulls him over to the side and starts speaking into his life. Friend, next week, and I planned on doing it this week, giving a way to set proper guidelines and things you want to see your children grow into. We'll get to that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just looking forward to it. I'll just put it that way. You don't want to miss it. But friends, can I say this in relation and in regard to your kids, no matter what age they are, that, you know, sometimes they'll even move out of our house where we can't correct them anymore and we can't, you know, do those things anymore where they're not listening to us because they're out living their own life. But you know what we can always do? We can always do that first thing. We can always nurture. And when you're being nurtured by someone, oh, it opens up your heart to them. Friend, I want to encourage you with your kids. Go to them, nurture them, love them. Yeah, they may have done wrong, and yeah, you may have had to punish, but and that's fine. You're doing your biblical job when you do that. But always come back with love. Do it in a spirit of love, nurture, and care. Amen. Let me pray with you before.